Okay, I think that's the first time I'm seeing your kids. I can see them well. It's good to who's by you there? Can you what's this? Who are you by? Kaka, Sister Kaka.
Good afternoon or good
Yes,
morning. Sorry.
who is there with you?
My daughter, Natalie.
And Natalie, how are you?
Good.
In the blessings that our Father, in His Word, showering upon us, because were it not for God, I would not have wanted to wake up this morning. There are so many things that bombard us from everywhere, and you are not able to pay attention fully to one. On Tuesday, I got a text to say that another believer who again I knew when coming, they were all growing up in Ife, had passed away. She just turned 50 in September, and it wasn't from COVID. She had an asthmatic attack, and because of all that is going on in Lagos, by the time they couldn't get into a hospital where there was oxygen. And that's just Tuesday. So whether from the front in Nigeria, what is going on here? We are swamped with a number of events that nobody, in fact, I am wondering why every American is not on drugs. So when people say there are so many people on drugs, no, that's not what you should worry about. You should be surprised that not everybody is on drugs. But thankfully, those of us who know the Lord, who are called by His name, we have, like the Lord Jesus was talking to the woman, when his disciples came to him after he'd spoken to that woman by the well, he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know of." And they were saying, "Well, who? Somebody just drove to McDonald's and got him food or something?" He said, "No, no, 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 not. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to complete His works. That is my source of sustenance." And I think it's the same thing for every one of us. So I'm going to ask our sister Elizabeth, to just pray for us as we just quickly look through the Word of God and encourage and push one another forward. So, Sister Elizabeth, could you unmute yourself and just lead us in a quick prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful today that we have a Father that we can come to that knows everything about us, knows the numbers of hairs that we have on our head. Notice, O God, before the beginning of the world, you have chosen us to be your people. God, I thank you this morning for your presence right now. I thank you this morning for your love, your faithfulness, and your wonderful Son who you sent to the cross on our behalf. And Father, I'm just so grateful today to be a part of this fellowship. I'm so grateful today that you once again have allowed me to come before you and to say thank you. Father, I pray for each and everyone on this Zoom meeting today that we serve our purpose for what you have called us to serve. Let us be faithful, O God. Continue, O God, to give us a deep hunger to search everything about you and to learn everything about you. Father, we just thank you so very much for your presence today. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, O God, that you have left with us. Hallelujah. Father, continue to lead,
Yes.
continue to guide us in the direction that you would have us go. We bless you today for all your wonderful blessings that you've restored upon us. Continue to lead us and to guide us and to keep us in perfect peace according to your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to call upon Josh Ademiju. Is he there with all of you? Tunde, is Josh there with you?
Yes, yeah. Please.
Okay, can you give him the book of Habakkuk? Habakkuk chapter 2. Haggai. Haggai chapter 2. I would like him to read from verse 6. So let Josh read Haggai chapter 2. It's one of those small prophets in the Bible. It's just before Zechariah. So just before Zechariah, Haggai chapter 2. I would like Josh to read verses 6. 7, 8, and 9.
This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
Thank you. Thank you. So I am sure that either you, your friends, our family members, our children are asking us, what is going on? What is going on? And unfortunately, there is a deceptive arm there are false prophets who they are one-dimensional. Anytime something happens, they think they've got the authority, to command the heavens and to, make a war that God has not sanctioned. Let me be clear what I'm saying. If you read the Bible, you will never hear any of the disciples saying they bind Satan and cast him into the lake of fire or into the bottomless pit or send him to the Atlantic Ocean. You will never hear that from any of them because it's not their role. Later on, when God is going to deal with all the principalities and power, just one angel, not an archangel, will grab the devil and take him, and it will take him to his prison. But that is not my role. That is not your role. The things that are going on right now, we have to find out, is God shaking the nation or the nations, or is it the devil that has run amok? Because that would depend on how you pray. But you can always almost know when we don't listen carefully. And what God is doing, we ascribe it to the devil. That is blasphemy. When God decides to shake nations and to show the nations that they are mere mortals, if you start rising up to say we take control over the devil, and you are praying wrong, because the devil doesn't have that kind of authority. If you've been reading the book of Revelations, right, you will see that everything that is going on is ordered from the throne of God. It doesn't mean God does evil, but God does judge nations. God does deconstruction and demolition to prepare for a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he's saying here. I say this because some members of the Church of God, they are fasting and praying. They want to take authority over coronavirus. How long will it take to take that authority? How long will it take? I say this because we don't know what awaits us, but we know this. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven. The word that God has said will not return to him void. It cannot. It's impossible. When God says something, it will come to pass. There's a verse that is always quoted out of context. It's the verse that comes from Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to read it. For I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Some of you have that, you've quoted it. But do you know that most of the time it's quoted out of context? Let's go to that book. I want to read that. And where is Romoka? Is Romoka there with you, Buki?
Yes, she is.
Okay, let her go to Jeremiah chapter 29.
From verse 1.
Oh, yes, please. Yes. Wait, right, let everybody get there. Don't be in the hurry. Okay, just okay. All right, go on.
Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, priests, prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. This was after King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and all the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. He sent the letter with Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah's ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produce. Marry and have children. Then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, said the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land.
That's enough. Thank you. Thank you. So what happened was, the background, Israel had been consigned to captivity because they did not keep the laws of the Lord. They did not keep his Sabbaths. And the Lord said they were going to go to, he was going to remove them from the land. But there were prophets at the time who countered Jeremiah and said it's a lie. That's not going to happen. The Lord says in 7 years or some of them, different days, it will be over soon. And Jeremiah, God said to him to tell these people, he said, when you get there, I want you to settle down in Babylon. Build houses and settle there. Plan for a long stay. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there, do not decrease. Also, this is good that we can do. Our sister Biola just prayed that prayer. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years, I will come to you and then fulfill my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found of you. That is how to understand the word of God. It has to be taken in context. It's not enough to just pull it out and use it as a, we call every part of the word of God is not a promise. It can be a declaration, and it can be a declaration for judgment. But those who belong to God, we actually rejoice when God arises to judge the earth. You've been reading the book of Revelations there, where the saints said, oh God, we praise you because you have risen to judge the earth. Every child of God should seek for God to arise and establish justice and equity on earth. I'll tell you something. We who have cell phones, do you know that there are some 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds in the Congo who are working almost 12, 15 hours every day to find some of the materials used to make our cell phone? Do you know those are God's creation? Do you know there are some children who wake up in the morning, 5 a.m. or so, the first thing they are going to do is to go and sell things, go and try and look for things in the dump, you know, metal scraps, you know, to scrape together before they go to school. Are those not part of God's word? So when you hear people right now talking about the economy is the biggest single, is the most important thing, you say, really? Your stock market, our own prosperity. But there are millions of people who are disenfranchised by this drive for prosperity. And the God of heaven will not listen? Does it sound fair? No. And that is why in Isaiah chapter 24, I want Brother Wale to please read it. Isaiah chapter 24, God said something. So brethren, the reason I want to share this with you is to have the strength to go on. But you have to understand how God does things. You have to look forward to the righteous coming of the kingdom of God. You have to long for a time when injustice will no longer be the order of the day, when that which is vile will not be held in esteem among human beings. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 24. Brother Wiley, please read it. I read from the very beginning.
Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste, distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with the master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the creditor, so with the debtor. The land shall be entirely emptied and utterly plundered, for the Lord has spoken his word. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth languish. The earth is also defiled under its inhabitants because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. The new wine fails, the vine languishes, all the merry-hearted sigh, the mirth of the tambourine ceases, the noise of the jubilant ends, the joy of the harp ceases. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may go in. There is a cry for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened, the mirth of the land is gone. In the city, desolation is left, and the gate is stricken with destruction. When it shall be thus in the midst of the land among the people, it shall be the shaking of an olive tree, like the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning night, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastland of the sea. For the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. But I said, I'm ruined, ruined. Woe to me. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. Indeed, the treacherous dealer have dealt very treacherously. Fear and the pit and the snare are upon you, O inhabitants of the earth. And it shall be that he who flees from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. He who comes up from the midst of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth are shaken. The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaking exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall total like a hut. In transgression shall be heavy. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it, and it will fall and not rise again. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will punish on high the hosts of the exalted ones, and on earth the kings of the earth. They will gather together as prisoners are gathered in the pit. They will be shut up in prison. After many days, they will be punished. Then the moon will be disgraced and the sun will be ashamed. For the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem and before his elders gloriously. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. You know, I said last Sunday, the things we have to watch for are deception, despair, and defeat. The way that the righteous always finds the strength to march on is to know the will of God. And thankfully, the Bible says that we are not in darkness so that we would not know what is going on. So as our children ask us, what is going on? We need to be able to talk about the end game. What is the Lord pushing towards? Is the Lord pushing towards a time where humanity, you don't need to drive a car, or you can just get on the hovercraft, zoom up and go down, but wickedness continues to reign on earth. People make billions and the rest, and we just, our lives go on like this. Or is the Lord hastening things toward the point where no child needs to cry again? There will be no more sex trafficking. There will be no more addiction to drugs. There will be no more chronic pain. There will be no more death. There will be no more brutality between the lion and the deer. Those are things that build hope. The true prophet will prepare the children of God to know the times of the Lord. Noah was a prophet. God said to him, this is what I'm going to do to the world. So like all of us, we can hear the voice of God and prepare to enter the ark. Like Lot, The Lord will take us and move us out. It's happened many times before. So these are things we need to tell our children. We need to tell each other. We need to encourage each other with. The Lord knows how to save the godly from the time of trial. That's what we're told in 2 Peter. But he knows how to reserve the wicked for punishment. Are you frightened? Please don't. I have to tell you the truth. And I know that's not a problem for you. We can explain to our children. We can explain to our family members that it is for a while that God will do what he needs to do. He will shake everything that needs to be shaken until only that which can be shaken will remain. Because they themselves, our children, are very perceptive about injustice. They can see, they read it. They know sometimes when you are sending a check to a child who is hungry, whether in Guatemala, in Nigeria, or in Texas, in Kansas, they can see all those things that come to our homes. And apart from there, they are glad that we can send those checks out, but sometimes they wonder, why does it even happen? And we can tell them, yes, one day, our Lord will bring all of this. So you are on the same side as God. Children know what is fair, what is not fair. That's the first. That's not fair. That is God's righteous foundation in them. So having said that, God does allow his children to have the wherewithal to deal with this kind of difficult circumstances. So in that passage we were reading from Jeremiah, God said to them, this place where you are facing all this, even though this is a sign of judgment, when you get there, settle down. Pray for the peace of the place. You will have prosperity there. I will be with you. I will come. I will be with you. I will bring you back when the time is done. Does that remind you of another one, the great Messiah, the great Savior, the Shepherd, who said to his disciples, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. Fear not. So as we look at the lives of those who have served God before us, people who were believers during the time of the Third Reich, of Nazis, people who tried to, there were Christians who perished for trying to hide Jewish people. If you read of the Armenian genocide, if you read of the things that happened in Rwanda and the rest, if you read of some things that are going on in the northern part of Nigeria and other parts of the world, you will see how our brethren suffer, continue to suffer. And the Bible does say that we should be our attitude as if we are in chains with them, as if we are in prison locked with them. But in the midst of that, the Lord Almighty does come with certain things. And one of it is well captured in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We use it to end our fellowships all the time. It's become a mantra, but sometimes we forget, we may miss, we may completely miss the, you know, what we call the let's share the grace in fellowship. If you take some time to, you know, like if you were to go to, before that, yes, I put something here, let me pause. So I put something in the post, but I'm sure it's long gone. I want to share this time with us in a medley of prayer, praise, and supplication, worship, everything all combined. Now you all were already doing it. There's a prayer from, there's a lifting up of the heart in Isaiah chapter 33. And this is it. Say, Lord be great. Can we all just pause for a minute and pray it? Just pray it. Lord be gracious to us. We long for you. be our strength every morning, our salvation in time of distress. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Where is Derek? Is Derek there? Is Derek on the call today? Derek is not there? Okay. Where is John? Is Sir Jackie on the call? Okay. Sister Shadi Adeleke, can you read it for us, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Kule, why are you hiding your wife? Let her come on the screen. Okay.
2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, you said?
Yes, please.
Okay. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Ah, listen to that. This apostle Paul, who has suffered a lot and who knows, he and Barnabas, you know, they went around telling the disciples that how through much trials and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And they were strengthening them, giving them encouragement. When he is writing sometimes in very difficult circumstances, he turns to them. And we're going to read some of his encouraging words. But he knows these are people going through a difficult time, some of them internal struggles, having problems within their own fellowship, brother and brother struggling together, begging for reconciliation. Some of them accusing Paul of being weak when he's there, but when he writes a letter, the letter is so powerful. So there are many things going on, envy, jealousy, fighting with one another, even at the communion table. But opposed by a very hostile world in a place where Christians are fed to the lions. And he says this to them, which is not a closing, it's not a fellowship closer. It's congealed wisdom. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that grace that brings salvation, that teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, to live soberly, steadfastly in this present world, and to await the coming of our great Savior and Lord. That same grace by which we are saved, that grace that Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I worked harder than most of them. That transforming grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in John's gospel we are told, grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ, and to us has been heaped one favor after the other. May this grace that made him poor, so that through his poverty we might be rich, may this grace be with you all the time. So whether it's, you know, our sister Sally, whether it's our sister Stacy, you know, brother Detola, whether it's Kemi, whether it's, you know, me, you know, sister Lisbeth, Cindy, all of us, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And he says, and the love of God. The most quoted verse in the world is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. May that love in John's, so because, you know, there's no time to run through everything. We'll just talk about it. The Apostle John said, this is love. It's not that we first love God. The love God has for us is not engineered by a response to our love, but this is love. That God loved us first and made his son to be the sin offering for the whole world. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Now think about that. Folake is a child of God. Now, sometimes, because we say it all the time, it may lose meaning. Think about it now. God called Abraham his friend. And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Because the suffering or the painful things we go through themselves, the physical pain, are not the things that we dread. It is the impression they give us of who we are, of our personhood. It's whether when you are suffering, you are driven into that place where you think there is no hope. Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. Nobody understands me. Those are the things that determine the outcome of our difficulties, right? These are the, but if when you are languishing, if when your child is going through difficulties and you are going through difficulties and you can say to your child, but no, I'm beloved of God. We are beloved of God. It changes everything. Have you ever been in a hospital when either a nurse or a doctor comes and the countenance of the doctor, it just makes life pleasant. You're still feeling the pain, but the way they look just makes you feel better. So, because I came from poverty, so I was always wearing pass me downs in university, and I wouldn't have anything to boast about. So, but I did not think somebody was better than me. It wasn't going to happen. Because at the age of 16, God called me and showed me his grace. And reading Romans chapter 5 one day broke me. He said, while we were yet sinners, and I know my own, I don't know about you, I know myself, God showed his love towards me in that when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Christ died for me when I was still weak. He said, sometimes, you know, we may die for a good person. You know, say this person is a wonderful person. They say, oh, no, we cannot allow this person to die. You know, like in the hospital, everybody's running around. You know, that's the head of state. We have to try and make sure, you know, we have better get the blood. We got to get this, you know. Like, you know, our president just got sick and he got a medication that most people won't get because it's considered important. The Bible says, when we were yet without strength, when we had nothing in our resume, Christ died for us. So in all our pain, you know, so Keke, whatever is going on and everything, the physical pain, the devil really doesn't care whether you enjoy things or you eat. A lot of people are going to go to the kingdom of darkness because of the things they've enjoyed on earth. They will be blinded from God's kingdom because of the goodness they have experienced here on earth. But when the evil one comes to us and says, hey, I thought you were a child of God, right? So if you were a child of God, how would this be happening to you? You prayed for this job, you didn't get it. You did it, you did it. He said, me, devil, I think I'm not sure you, I know you can't read. So let me just read you the word of God. So are you ready for me? It is written, God so loved me. The Bible says, who can bring anything to the charge of God's elect? It's Christ who died. If God could give me his son, what will he with him not fully give me? Romans chapter 8. That's why Martin Luther said the devil doesn't like to be made fun of. And he says, so when the devil comes to him, he will quote the word of God. Do you see Jesus struggling with the devil during the temptation? No, he just said, it's written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's it. Then again, no, you shall love the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And the devil went away. We're told the angels of the Lord came and ministered to him. Where is Sister B? Where is Sister Bonnelly? Are you on the call? I thought you led worship today, right?
Here. I'm here.
Uh-huh. You were there? Okay. Mommy, how are you, ma?
Good morning.
Okay. So I want you to read. So, you know, last Sunday we shared together. From that last Sunday till now, there's a song that has not left my mind. But I want Sister B to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. No, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 to 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. No, yep, chapter 3, 3 to 5. Please read for us. Mm-hmm.
1 second. Second Thessalonians
chapter 3, verses 3 through 5.
Okay. But the Lord is faithful.
Oh, good. Yes.
Who will establish you and guard you from the evil one? And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ.
Yes. 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 You know, these apostles, they suffered many things when they preached the gospel to these people. In fact, in verse 1 of that same chapter 3, so finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it is did among also with you. No, am I? Hold on for a minute. Let me just make sure I'm reading in the right place. Okay. All right. Okay. Yep, that's it. Okay, that's the right place. It's, you know, my Bible is it's messing me up. Okay. It says, just as it also did with you, and that it will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. I like that. The Lord is faithful. Faithfulness sometimes can be described as consistency with known character. In other words, what you are known to be, that's what you will always be found to be. So when I was very young, I used to hear some songs and I didn't know where they come from, where they song. I didn't know what informed them, like something, why you do me so? You know, they say, I don't know, say you play me wayo. And I used to wonder, what are they talking about? It's, they are people turn, they become something you were not expecting them to be. That's not God. God is always faithful. He is consistent with the character that we've come to know about him. So he says, God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you can. With every temptation, he will make a way for escape. So in these difficulties, in these difficult times, and share it with you. You know, we always hear me say, share it with our children, share it with one another, share it with everyone. When you are backed into a corner and the temptation seems so strong, they say, just say, Lord, where is the exit? I know there must be an exit. Where is it? Because he says, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. With every temptation, he will make a way of escape. That helped me as a young person beyond description. I'm telling you, see, I can't even count it. And it continues to help me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Those of us who are in the charismatic movement or Pentecostals, we know about the Holy Spirit for power and ministry. What a shame. What a shame. Have you ever seen the people who are eating the outside of the corn, but they haven't opened it fully to eat the corn? That's what it looks like. Like you have ice cream, you're eating the cone, but you haven't tasted the ice cream yet. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, given power to do the ministry, that is good. But more important is the daily fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we send our children out to school, if it's Georgia you are dropping, you say the Holy Spirit will be with you. I know that. Your dad and I will not always be with you. We will check upon you, but I know that the Holy Spirit will be with you. When I can reach you, when I can say something to you, Timmy, I know the Holy Spirit will be there. He will do a better job than me. I want to play a song that has been on my mind since the last time we spoke. When I shared with you last Sunday, I benefited more from it than any of you. All through the week, the Lord has just comforted me in so many ways. This song is been in my mind. I say all, and so I'm going to play it, and I want you to just reflect on what is Christ calling you to. He's saying, stay with me. Remain here with me. Watch and pray. Please, lay hands on your children. Lay hands on your spouse, on one another. If you are alone, look, put your hand on yourself. Say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to enjoy this friendship that I have with you. Take my hand. Lead me on. Talk to me. Remove any wax from my ears. Remove things that don't let me hear anything. Sister Tola, are you hearing now? Say, Holy Spirit, show me how to talk to me as a friend. I know when it comes to ministry, you will give me the power. That's okay. But I want to, as I'm here now in this room, Savannah, are you listening now? As I'm here now in the hospital working, it would just be nice for me to know that you are with me. I used to say, God, just give me a little bit? Just give me a tiny peek. Just a little try. You know, when you are making, Sister Biola, I don't know if you bake, but when you are making the batter and kids want to quickly touch it and, you know, before you bake it, I said that to God. I said, I don't even want to see, not heaven now, but just a little bit. Let me just a little bit. I want to know the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. At the height of my rheumatoid arthritis inflammation, when I could not, sometimes my hands were so swollen, I couldn't reach my medication. 2 a.m., I said, Jesus, you must see what I'm going through now. Come, there's no way you won't know what I'm going through. What is this? I said, Lord, do something. Please, Lord, you got to do something. Well, the next time I knew what was going on, I woke up. I fell asleep. And it was so refreshing. I woke up in the morning. I went to work. If you saw me at work, you won't believe that 2 a.m. I was struggling. I said, Jesus, I don't want any miracle. Just do something now. Not a miracle. Just now. Now, can you just do something, my friend? Please. It's killing me. The next thing I fell asleep. You know, let's relate to God as our Father. Please. Let's relate to Jesus as our brother. The Holy Spirit as a resident friend, counselor, a standby, one who is replacing Jesus. That's why Jesus said, it's good for me to go, so that when I go, he will come, because he can be with you all at the same time. You know, Jesus on earth could only be in one place as a man. But he knew that if the Holy Spirit came in his place, his Holy Spirit can be with everybody at the same time. Can be with Buki, can be with, you know, Falake in Fort Myers. It can be, it will even be with some people in Kazakhstan. It will be with everybody. So Jesus can be with every one of us in the same place at the same time. Revealing to us the things of God, making fresh the things God has taught us. Not just giving us strength, being the strength. Natalie, I want to play a song. I want to share. I hope you can all. So let's go. Let me play this song. Let me share this song with all of you. So what I want us to do is just take some time, just let the Lord, you know, comfort you. Let the Lord embrace you. You know, Habakkuk means the embrace of God. The song we sang at the beginning, though the fig tree does not blossom. Habakkuk as a name means let God embrace me. I just want God sometimes to say, Alodje, and what he's done is, I know where you are. Don't stop informing me. I know, Bonnelly, you know, Sister Wura, or Tola, Detola, Babs, Jesus says, stop trying to inform me. I'm here with you. I am right here. So where are you? Look, you can't see, close your eyes. You can't see, turn down your cell phone. You can't hear, be still for a while. Okay? I'm right here. Don't try to inform me. I know what's going on with you.
Thank you.
Many years ago, when we were in exile, when we fled from Abacha and in Luton, but just before we got there, it was a very difficult time in Nigeria. You know, my father-in-law had been sentenced to death in absentia. You know, he'd fled the country and we were all trying to get out. And all of a sudden, you know, the embassies in Nigeria, those friendly countries, started to shut doors in our face. I remember going to the South African embassy, and it was a very unusual experience. I said, really? But every time a door was shut, sometimes Pei and I would be in an elevator and a song would come back to our heart. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That song followed us from Nigeria. We got to London and all the things going on. Something happens, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. That song was on, that song was with us for 12 months. It was like the children of Israel, as soon as they stepped foot in the Canaan, the manna stopped. As soon as the Lord brought us to a place where all of those external threats were gone, that song was replaced by another. You know the other song that came? Rise Up. You know the song we say, there's a song, Arise, O Men of God. Pray. Those were words I heard. Pray. This is the first time I've heard God's voice in that almost audible form, and I woke up. Pray. Prayer is not just the asking for things is part of it. The Apostle Paul said, I don't want your heart to be troubled. Do not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Then the Apostle Peter, before he left, he said in chapter 5, be vigilant, because your enemy, as a roaring lion, is seeking whom to devour. Resist him steadfastly in faith. He follows on. One of the ways we resist the enemy is this: casting all your anxious thoughts on him, because he cares for you. That is spiritual warfare. They go together. So never read the Bible in verses. Assume the Bible doesn't have verses, so you can get the picture. So resisting the devil, casting all our cares upon him, because he cares for us. Because you remember the sower, the seeds that would not prosper, they were choked. The reason they were choked was the cares of this world, the anxiety of life, and the deceitfulness of riches. They choked the word so it did not prosper. Finally, you know the other thing? Songs of praise. In Psalm 40, Sister Folake Adeleke, can you read Psalm number 40 for us? Psalm number 40. Praise and worship is not just something we do so that we can listen to the sermon. No, it is part and parcel of our daily living. In fact, it is the one thing that you can't afford to not know. Psalm number 40. Let's listen to this saint of God, and then we'll do some opening. I mean, we'll do some closing prayers together. Psalm number 40. Start from verse 1, please.
Okay. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord.
Thank you. Let's stop there. Let's go through those. I waited patiently for the Lord. One of the tools for the journey ahead is to wait on the Lord, is to hang on to God, is to stay with God. There are three components: patience, perseverance, endurance. In Galatians chapter 5, they are the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you see this, your resident friend that we're talking about, our resident friend, he's the Holy Spirit knows how to download the app for patience, long suffering. That's another word. Endurance, staying for a while. Endurance. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on the rock and gave me a firm place to stand. That's not all. He put a song. Who put the song there? Sister Bonale put the song there? No, who did? Where's Ronke, Sister Ronke? Who put the song in my mouth?
The Lord.
The Lord put the song in my mouth. A hymn of praise. That is how we know. When those who say, that was a song that was just in my heart, that is the Holy Spirit. He has all the hymn books of the world. He has all the songs. The Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. You will encompass me with songs of deliverance. I pray that God will take us to Sunday school at night. You know, the psalmist said, he instructs my inward at night in the night season. Oh, my brother, when trouble moves from trouble to distress, it's in Pidgin, they say, don't let my anger become annoyance. But when it moves from trouble to distress, to tribulation, when things are so hard that you can't say anything, trust God, trust our Father. He will give you a song. A hymn of praise to God. Many will see and fear. Sabiola, you have a bounce to your step today. Your co-worker would say, Lola, what happened? Hey, Yewande, what's going on? You have You have this, some wind beneath your wing today. What's going on? This is God. So I want to encourage us, you know, we can talk for a long time, but because, you know, everybody's now free, we're done. This is the biggest election of our time. That's for human beings. That's not how God works. And they say that all the time. 4 years from now, they're going to say, that's the soul of the nation. I didn't bring the nation to this point. That's not my doing. I wasn't the one who set the foundation of injustice that we're still reaping. It's not me. I can't, I've done my vote, I'm done. But the kingdom that we have is not from men. It's not given to human beings. Nobody can vote Christ in and out. God said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. I will say the decree. You are a king forever. You are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. The king I serve can be appointed, can be nominated, cannot be voted in. The Lord has set him upon his holy hill of Zion. And he is coming, and every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue, from those atheists in Oxford University, Harvard, Cambridge, they are going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It may be too late, but they are going to say that's true. You know, the Roman soldier said, truly, this was a righteous man. It may not have saved him. We are on the winning side, my brothers and sisters. Yes, here you may not have the perfect marriage. You may not even have a spouse. You may not have a child. That's the things that have to do with the earth. I pray that in all of this, God will bless you. But you are not, none of us, a child of God, you are not deficient. You are not incomplete. You are complete. The Bible says we are complete in him. In Christ. Go read Colossians now. The beginning of all things. So thank God for what he's done for us. We'll continue to praise him. We'll continue to sorrow with those who sorrow, rejoice with those who rejoice. But we always say, let's pray that together. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. This is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Ever.
Amen. 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 Thank you all.